Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest this evening is an Emmy Award-winning comedian you know from her stand-up specials, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Black-ish. Her new Netflix sitcom, The Upshaws, returns this week for its second season. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Wanda Sykes.
Good to see you.
It has been a year since you've been on the show.
Uh-huh.
Where you been, Wanda?
Oh.
You've been doing Seth, haven't you? You've been over at Seth.
I've been all over the place. You know, we shot the second season of The Upshaws and everything. And just been, you know, busy, going out touring a little bit. Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
I'm a black gay woman and I have a daughter, so I'm not doing so well right now. Salty.
You're a little salty?
I'm a little salty right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll sprinkle a little salt.
Yeah.
Let's put some flavor on here.
It just sucks, man. It really does. I mean, you know, it's like the country, it's no longer a democracy, right? I mean, it's no longer majority rule.
No, certainly not right? In the Senate. Certainly not in the representation on the Supreme Court.
It's not. It's no longer majority rule. And I mean, it's like these judges, they just... They basically lied when they were, you know, doing their confirmation hearings, right?
Yeah. Especially Kavanaugh. Yeah.
So how can you be a Supreme Court justice and you just lying? You know what? They had their fingers crossed or something or what? I mean, it's just a bunch of horse shit. It really is.
Yeah. Well.
To me, it's like the problem is that middle stuff. It's those states in the middle, that red stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they get to tell us what to do when the majority of us live out, you know, New York, California, and we're paying for all this crap, really? I mean, right?
Yeah.
We're footing the bill.
Well, that's the union. It's supposed to be representative democracy, but it turns out to be minority rule right now.
Right, right. But if we fit in the bill, you know, and like California, if it were a country, it'd be fourth, fifth largest economy. So if, you know, if I'm fitting the bill, know your position. You know what I'm saying? you know, for real. Like, look, if I say, hey, let's go out to dinner, you don't get to pick the restaurant. Just shut up and eat.
Your last special was called Not Normal.
Right.
Which is how you were describing sort of the upsetting nature of the country. How's the normal now?
Well, I was way off the mark, huh? I thought that was not normal.
You jumped the gun.
This stuff is crazy. I jumped the gun.
Yeah.
I think things would be normal, like if people, especially elected officials who tried to overthrow an election, if they went to jail, that would feel normal, I think.
We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I will ask Wanda about her earliest memories of doing comedy. Stick around.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
You're back on tour, which must feel good.
It does.
After being off tour for so long. Mm-hmm. Because these are the greatest people in the world.
Yes, they are.
And you may not be able to pinpoint the moment, but why did you want to get into comedy? Do you have, like, a seminal moment for you?
You know, I just remember growing up and watching all those great, you know, variety shows we had, you know, growing up, you know, Smothers Brothers and...
Ed Sullivan,
yes, mm-hmm. You know, Flip Wilson, all that. And just sitting with the family and laughing and listening to my grandmother laugh, my mother laugh. And that always just stayed with me. And then, you know, as I, after college and everything, I just hated every job that I had. And it was like, this is not what I'm gonna be doing the next 40 years, come on. So I just end up being a raging alcoholic if I stay here this long.
Mm-hmm. You can do both.
I can do both.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
So I just remembered, like, how much I love comedy and how much I love making people laugh. And
do you have early memories of making people laugh?
I knew I had something when, I think I maybe was in, like, the 6th, 7th grade, and we were having a block party, and the neighbor across the street, older gentleman, you know, war vet, he had thrown him back a little bit too much, mm-hmm. and he's retired. Come on, the man fought in the war. And he fell, and he bumped his, cracked his head open, basically, and all the other adults were kind of, you know, a little sloshed, too, so it was one woman who was sober, and they was, like, wanting to go with her to take him onto the military base, because, you know, my dad's military, so it was like, go and show her how to get there and all that stuff, because, you know, we didn't have the ways back then. So we get to the Army hospital, and, you know, getting him checked in, and the doctors asked, he said, look, you know, we have his records, but is anything else we should know about him? And I was like, well, I wouldn't put him near an open flame right now. And the doctors fell out laughing, and I was like... something.
Speaking of the Ed Sullivan Theater, I just found out that one of your early comedic heroes actually performed here, and I've always loved her stuff, and that's Moms Mabel.
Yes, yes.
And for the people who don't know, tell them who Moms Mabel was.
Oh my gosh, my hero, basically. No, comedian, I mean, she was like, first started back in what they called the Chitlin' Circuit, and she was just really ahead of her times. I mean, the jokes that she would do, she was like one of the first comics who actually would talk to the audience, you know, instead of just like doing like jokes. She would say, "Let me tell you something, kids," or you know, and she was like, it was like self-deprecating somewhat, but it was just also like political, you know, she would talk about social issues, just really, really funny.
Well, you got to the world play her me. In The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and I'm curious, what's that like to play one of your comedic heroes?
Surreal, yeah. And not only did I get to play her, I got to play her on an amazing show like Mrs. Maisel, and we shot it at the Apollo Theater. So I am standing on the Apollo, and that was Mom's home, like, you know, Dad and in D.C. But, yeah.
Well, your new Netflix, or not new, but your new season mm-hmm. of your Netflix show, The Upshaws, returns for season 2 on Wednesday. You co-created the show, you star in it, you're an executive producer. What can we expect from season 2?
More hilarity. It's
you should just really name the funny. Show that.
I know it's really funny. I love this show. I love this cast. I love the writers. You know, it's the Upshaws. They're messy. It's a working class African American family in the Midwest, and you know, starts with Mike Epps, Kim Fields, and Yes, it's just more drama, more comedy, just mess.
We have a clip right here. Does this need to be set up, or is it generally understood?
I think you'll... Let's get it. Let's see. I think you'll figure it out.
Let's see.
Hey, we got a cereal. If I put sugar on corn chips, that's Frosted Flakes, right?
Just add a banana. Now go. I'm trying to get this place straightened out before Althea gets here.
People suck. I grabbed the last pack of markers, and this Karen came at me with a pair of safety scissors. I don't want to get into it, but you'll see it on the news.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Where's the cucumber?
Like I said, you'll see it on the news.
There you go.
Wanda, lovely to see you. Thank you for being here.
Coming up, Tig Notaro.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
My next guest tonight is a brilliant comedian who is performing Saturday night at Carnegie Hall for the New York Comedy Festival. Please welcome Tig Notaro. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you.
We've never met before.
I know this.
Yeah, I knew that too, but I wanted to meet you because I admire your work.
I love you.
Oh. Because I like you?
Yes.
Because that's why I usually like people. I'm an easy date.
No, everybody loves you. Come
oh, that's
on.
Very nice. That's very nice of you to say. We have one thing in common. We're both comedians from the South.
Yes.
You're from Mississippi, I understand, and Texas? Or well, how would you say where you're from?
I would say exactly that.
Mississippi and Texas?
Yeah, I was born in Mississippi, lived there, and then we moved to Texas. And so.
Like little town Mississippi? Most towns in Mississippi were little.
There are
like
only little towns.
I know, but like what town in Mississippi?
I was born in Jackson, and then we moved down to Pascagoula, which is on the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
And there's probably 4,000 people.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have a Southern accent. People ask me that all the time. How come I don't have one? Why don't you have one?
Well, I'm not sure, but I do say a few words that are Southern, like wouldn't. Like,
wouldn't?
Like, oh, I wasn't going to do that.
That's nice. Yeah.
Or y'all, and then one time I was on, well, my own podcast.
Hold on.
This is a podcast.
I didn't realize I was in the presence of a podcaster.
Yes, it's no longer on, but
I'm so sorry.
You have your podcast, I have mine.
Exactly.
But on my podcast, I said something about, you know, careful, you don't want to tump that over. And everybody stopped and said, I'm sorry, what? And I said, tump, you don't, just be careful, you don't want to tump it over. And in that moment, I found out that tump was not a word. And
like anywhere? It's not a regionalism? Or there, is it
just Southern dialect, but yeah. I had been just, you know, dropping tump all around. And and I found out on the air in front of hundreds of listeners that that wasn't a word.
Well, you said y'all.
Yeah.
And there's a thing that, like, people, oh, they all think, like, oh, y'all, yeah, that means a whole group of people in the mm-hmm. South. Like, no, that's all y'all.
Yeah.
There's y'all and there's all y'all,
oh,
which is the collective multiple.
Exactly.
You know? Because I can call you, are y'all going? And you're like, yeah, yeah, we're going. And then I go, what about all y'all? Like, no.
Exactly. And where you're from, is it North Carolina?
I forgive you. I'm from South Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't even know my town.
I know Jackson. I know Mississippi. I know your state.
But you should have known where I was from.
I apologize.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We work things through quickly.
This is awkward.
Well, neither of us enjoy awkwardness, so let's get out of this moment immediately. boy.
You are a new mother.
I am.
Speaking of awkward.
Yes.
You have twins.
I do.
And Finn.
I'll be honest, I love them so much. And that was not Halloween.
Now, I heard something about you from my producer, not your hometown, evidently, but I did hear that you like to ride motorcycles, but that your wife has said that is absolutely off limits now.
Yes. When we started dating,
yeah.
I have two vintage motorcycles that are collecting dust.
And she won't let you ride them anymore.
Yes. Are you about to surprise me with a new motorcycle?
No. God, I wish. God, I wish that was the case. No. Oh. No. I'm not. So what are you supposed to ride if you can't ride your motorcycles, babe? Yeah. Come on. You just need to talk to her and go, look, this is my life.
Oh, I thought you were calling me babe.
No. You gotta talk to her.
Dude,
you gotta talk to her
married.
And say, what?
I'm married. You can't be calling me babe.
It's show business. Can't I call anybody babe? Hey, babe.
Yes.
What's up, baby doll? You just touched my hand. I'm a married man. All right? I'm flattered.
I am attracted to you, and I can't help myself.
The feeling is mutual. So what does she want you to drive?
Well, she doesn't want me to... She doesn't. There you go.
She wouldn't. She doesn't.
She wouldn't,
uh-huh.
And she doesn't.
She might could.
She might could. She doesn't want me to drive motorcycles or my dream car, which is a Honda Odyssey.
Do you have it? You would think a network
Bring it
show
out.
We'd have a Honda Odyssey out here.
You know,
that's a super sexy car, that minivan. Yeah.
I would drive that podium that guy is.
That is actually street legal. He drives that home every day.
I could put Max and Finn on the top and just pray they don't tump.
Mm-hmm. What is it you love about the Honda Odyssey? Because it's a sweet ride.
It has a vacuum cleaner in there.
Yeah.
And then
why do you need the vacuum cleaner?
Cheerios, Goldfish.
Oh, to clean out the car because of the kids. You know what's very easy to clean out? Motorcycle. Strap the kids on the back of that motorcycle.
I'm on your side, or no, in a sidecar.
Oh, okay.
Little scarf blown in the wind.
Now, you're performing at Carnegie Hall on Saturday. Is this the first time you ever played Carnegie Hall?
Yeah. And
are you excited?
Can't you tell?
Well, congratulations and have a great time.
Thanks for having me.
It was lovely to meet you.
You too.
Coming up, Hannah Gadsby.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest was just nominated for two Emmys for her powerful Netflix special, Nanette. She's now performing a new show called Douglas here in New York. Please welcome Hannah Gadsby. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to have you on.
It's lovely to be here at the moment.
We'll see how the next few minutes...
We've got some time.
Exactly. Congratulations on your two Emmy nominations.
Thank you.
Had you been nominated before for... Yeah.
No, I'm not from around here.
Have you been nominated for anything? Is this your first award? Or...
Oh, no, I won a creative writing award in grade 3.
That's not easy.
It is where I'm from.
Yeah. I understand you're nominated in the same category as Beyonce.
Yeah, but I expect John Oliver will win.
Sure.
Yeah.
He just sweeps.
I mean, am I in the same category as Beyonce?
Yeah. Evidently, they
technically,
say.
Technically
you are. Have you ever met her before?
No.
Are you looking forward? Because she might be there. You might get a chance to meet her. Are you looking forward to that?
Well, I probably won't initiate.
You're hoping she comes over to you, eh?
We'll leave it up to Beyoncé. I think that's only appropriate.
Congratulations, belated congratulations on Nanette. You're now, yes. you're very famous. You're very famous. You're very celebrated. Are you enjoying that aspect of
the? Look, it's new. A lot of it's new. Like, I didn't expect to get fame out of Netflix, as I like to call it now. Cut out the middleman, you know.
Sure, exactly. Yeah.
But here it is. My life has changed quite a lot. Like, I'm.
You kind of described it as like a goodbye to stand up. Like, this is how you're going to end the whole thing.
You don't write a show like that and go, oh, this is going to be popular. Like, I did not read the room.
Evidently, you did, though. People were desperate for somebody to, or rather, they responded so positively to somebody being honest and being willing to be vulnerable and share their experience.
Yeah, it works to my theory. I did not approach. I was retreating. It works.
Sure.
Beyoncé and I are going to be BFFs.
Yes.
This is how it works.
The more you pull away from her, the more she's going to come towards you. Good luck with that. Good luck with you. I'll be out there. I'll watch from a distance.
Yep. Keep the distance.
I will. From like a duck blind or something. Yeah, I'll be watching you.
That,
near Beyoncé.
That doesn't sound creepy at all.
As I said, responded to you being willing to share your own intimate experiences, your feelings, the trauma that you had suffered in your life, and you don't, but halfway through Nanette, you lose the, sort of the sense, the need that I have to provide you a punchline behind everything I'm saying. And I want to know, as a professional comedian, were you fighting an instinct to tell the punchline in creating it, or were you possibly fighting the instinct not to tell a punchline? Which was harder, not telling the punchline or telling the punchline?
I have no idea what you've just asked.
Yeah. I'm wondering whether you had a strong instinct to go like, oh, I want to tell a joke here, but I'm not going to because I want to try something new.
That one.
That's the one.
Let's not complicate it.
That was your instinct.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it was really difficult to stand on stage in front of a live audience and just have tension in the air. Because when you've got tension, it's really easy to make people laugh. And I'm like, I'm wasting a real wicket here. It's a cricket term, that one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't follow. You lost me there for a moment, too.
Yeah, I did. I need to correct my inferior dialect.
Exactly. Cricket, that's the baseball game that goes on for 3 days?
Yeah, it's really... Who knew? Who knew you could make baseball more boring? But you can.
You can. You really can.
Yeah.
You really can. Yeah. Well, now you have a show called Douglas.
Correct.
Douglas. Are there punchlines in this one?
Look, it's hard to say when I mean it, but people are laughing, which I'm pleased about. It's kind of interesting for someone to... Well, I'm talking about myself. It's interesting to me... I'm good at words. It's my job.
Yes.
In my show, I talk about having autism, and I do some anti-vaxxer material, which is dangerous. But at the sort of end of it, I encourage people, you know, who don't want to vaccinate their children, that instead of having children, perhaps they should get a pet rock. And so I've been making pet rocks to sell as merchandise. to sell as merchandise at overinflated prices because I made them, I've signed them, and I'm now a person.
What's
that
this
people
gonna run me?
I'll let you know in a minute. Let me do the spiel.
Oh. Didn't realize.
Yeah, I'm not a flexible thinker.
Yes.
You
signed them?
Yeah, I've signed them. I'm now matching them to people. So this one's Chloe with side eye from the meme.
Thank you.
So I'm selling them for a charity for women and girls with autism and non-binary folk and anyone in a marginalised gender, which pretty much means everyone except you, Stephen. Oh, that's a Raphael. Raphael with side eye. Thank you. So there, I take 100 for each, I think. I think that I got, you know, the materials didn't cost much, but my labour, I don't think you can afford me.
I'll take.
Which one would you like?
I'd like Raphael, if you know.
Would you just?
Yes.
Classic.
I feel criticised.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, see, that's tone. I have issue with tone. I meant warmth. My voice said cold.
Delightful to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.